All right, it is Friday, June 24th. Mandy Higgins, conducting an oral history interview for the COVID Quilt Project in Raywick, Kentucky with Nancy Miles. Can you just state your name for us?
My name is Nancy Miles.
Thank you. When did you start to craft or sew?
Probably really getting into it, probably around 1980 when my daughter was born, and I made a quilt, and it's all my life though. My mother sewed, and you know, so it just kind of went on down the line. But I really got into it when I quit my public job the first time and stayed home when my son was born, and then it just bloomed from there.
Did you learn to sew from your mother, or how did you pick it up?
Yeah, I'd say I did. I learned to watch her because she, with all the siblings, she had to make her clothes, and she didn't use patterns, so we just learned to improvise and use your imagination, whatever you come up with.
What sorts of things did you make before you started making masks?
Mostly quilts, a few clothes, not a whole lot, but mostly quilts. Yeah.
Can you tell me a little bit about your quilts?
I like to do my own design because I don't follow patterns very well. And so I like to do my own designs, and I have, I don't know how many quilts I've made. I really don't. But I've made everything from the Titanic to your traditional double wedding ring to the barn quilts to simple quilts.
And do you do the whole process?
Nowadays, I have somebody that does the quilting for me because working full-time job, I don't have time and I like to piece better. But before I started public work the second time around, I did my own piecing, quilting, and the whole from start to finish. Yeah.
And were you involved in sewing groups or craft circles?
Yes, I was. I joined a sewing group in Barstown called Crazy Quilters. And that's really where I probably learned my best techniques and learned a lot from them ladies. And then I started a quilt group at our church at St. Francis Xavier in Raywick, and it's called the Socialize Group. So we do a lot of socializing and some sewing. And so I belong to that one, too.
Yeah. Can you tell me a little bit more about that group?
That's mostly the church-oriented, but anybody is welcome to come. And this is the 20th year for it. It's been going for 20 years. A lot of the ladies have passed away, you know, and the younger generation is just not into sewing. It's not something they have time to do, whether they like it or not. And we've done lots of prayer quilts for people, you know, quilting for ourselves, just a lot of talking, a lot of socializing, a lot of eating.
How did you meet during the pandemic?
How did I meet?
Did the group meet during the pandemic?
No, they didn't. No, because most of them were older and they were afraid to meet. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So they still kept in contact on the phone and Facebook and things like that. Yeah.
No Zoom.
No.
Meetings.
No.
Zoom crafting. That's actually how I got into crafting. So
was Zooming?
Yeah.
Oh, well, that's good.
Can you tell me, since we've introduced the pandemic, how did you learn about COVID-19?
You mean?
How did you first hear about it?
I guess on the news. You know, you heard it all over the news, and it was pretty scary, you know. That's why I took a month off at the very beginning of it, because I do not want this, you know.
Yeah. Can you tell me a little bit about what you were doing in March of 2020?
Well, when I took off work, I was mostly making masks, you know. And my daughter and granddaughter helped make masks. My husband helped cut the strings. And so that month I was off, we were making masks and sewing and enjoyed being home.
Yeah, so you worked for Heaven Hill.
I do.
You were considered an essential worker.
Yes, we are considered essential workers. Therefore, we got hazardous pay for so many weeks. I forget exactly how many. So, but we kept right on working.
Yeah. You were not sent home when the rest of the...
No, yeah. No. We never... Nobody at Heaven Hill missed a day's work because they had to shut down because of the pandemic. You know, some of them took off, like me, I took off, a couple other people, just because we're worried about it, you know. And they let us do it, you know. And then the ones that got COVID, of course, they took off, you know, and come back. But nobody missed. We worked some overtime, did the bottling of the hand sanitizers. That ain't all they did. They did bourbon and hand sanitizer at the same time. But, yeah, we kept on going. Yeah.
Can you talk to me a little bit about how you were feeling in that early moment?
Scared. I mean, really, really scared, because you think, what's going to happen? You know, is we all going to get it? Are we all going to die? One guy I worked with, he got it. Within a week, he was dead. Literally. He was at work on a Wednesday. Within a week, he was dead. So that was scary, you know. And it did. It made you afraid what was going to go on. It made you want to help other people that needed it, you know.
Yeah. When did you start making masks? Was it almost immediately?
Yes. Yeah. Almost immediately.
And how did you don't like patterns, you said. So how did you figure out how to do this?
You know, you just kind of measure your mouth, measure up and down. No, that one works. Try another one. That one didn't work. First it was strings, and that worked okay. And then it was cut up the T-shirts and make little ear loops, and that worked really well. Yeah. And then I made masks for, you know, all my family members and families in Texas and Arkansas and Louisville and Donnie's family and people at work and people I didn't know, you know, you just make them. Yeah.
And how did you get information about, like, cutting up the T-shirts or doing those sorts of things?
I think just out of my head, you know, just out of, because I'm sewing so long, it's just a natural thing to what to do there. Yeah.
Where did you source your material?
Well, I had a whole stash from fabric quilts. So then a lady I did not know this lady, but I do work with her niece. And I made, you know, like I said, masks for people at work. So I don't know if that's why she did it, but her aunt was a quilter, and she couldn't see anymore. And she asked me, and I had made some masks for them, if I would like some fabric. I said, sure, you know. Well, she gave me a very large, significant amount of fabric. Very large, yeah. So then, you know, I had all the fabric in the world cut up, and I'd buy special fabric for kids and, you know, little Scooby-Doos and things like that. Yeah, so.
Did you have trouble sourcing any materials?
No, I didn't, because I had so much already, you know. But I don't think anybody really did, but I'm not really sure.
And did you make any changes as you went through, or did you settle on a pretty...
No, I made changes, yeah. I did. And probably still making changes.
Are you still making masks?
Well, no, I haven't made any for quite some time. Okay. Because, you know, we're not having to wear them again.
Yeah.
But it's coming back. We have some people work with it now. And I think I'm going to start wearing mine again. And I've kept them all. I mean, you know, I've got a stack in there this big that's mine personally. Yeah.
Yeah. How did you learn about the quilts?
A friend of mine told me. She seen it on Facebook, and she told me about it. And I thought, well, you know, it might be something I'd like to do too. So I did. I took fabrics that I had made our mask out of, like my kids and grandkids, and put theirs in there. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that's what mine would have been made out of.
Yeah. Can you describe your square for me?
Actually, I made four different ones, I think. And the best I can remember is kind of in the center. And mine is actually not just simple patches like that. I made a design called the Monkey Wrench, which was always my mother's favorite quilt pattern. So that's what mine is. It's a design of the Monkey Wrench.
Can you describe what that means for somebody who would be listening to this interview?
You mean the monkey wrench pattern?
Yeah.
The monkey wrench pattern is called really monkey wrench and door latch and hole in a barn door, you know. It's just her mother made a red quilt, and I have it, of that pattern. Then my mother quilted it, and now I own it. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of a special pattern, the monkey wrench. It's kind of a pattern of love passed down. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's nice. Do you remember the fabric that you used in that?
You know, I told you I didn't have a picture of it. I do have a picture of the block.
Okay.
Of the block.
Yeah.
I know I had yellow, and I can show you.
Yeah.
If I can show you. I looked for it. And, let's see. There we go. There's one of them.
Yeah,
and I signed mine in the center.
So could you, for us, just describe what you're seeing here?
Okay. It's made out of multicolors. It looks like maybe 12 different pieces of fabric there, different ones. And, okay, this is the other one. This one is a simple patch. And this one is like for my grandchildren. It's got Winnie the Pooh on it. And this one was my husband's. It's got the tools on it. And this one's me for sewing because it's got the buttons. Let's see what's up in there. That's two more little kids playing. That's my other set of grandkids. This one here is for the sports, which I've got a sports nut in there. And the horses, because it's Kentucky. And just flowers, because I like it. And, oh, them balloons, I'm not quite sure. But this one is the simple nine patch. Mm-hmm. And this one is the monkey wrench one.
Yeah, and the monkey wrench one has more pieces of it into the
right.
nine.
It does. Yeah. It does. And I think I signed the middle of all of mine.
Yeah.
Something like that. So.
Yeah. So your friend tagged you in it. You thought you'd be something you'd want to do. Mm-hmm. And then you just sent it in, or what? What was your,
I just asked my other sister made a lot of masks too, and I made a block for her, and I think I sent one in for her, and I was like, well, it's just something I'd like to be part of, you know, because poor little Andy Beshear was hit with the hardest thing you can imagine in a governor's lifetime. You know, it's just, I can't imagine it, you know, I can't imagine. And I think he's fared well through it.
What did it feel like contributing something that the governor, that was presented to the governor?
I don't know. I don't know that I really think it was because it was the governor. It was just for somebody else that was really, the pressure was put on them. You know, whether it be you, me, the pressure was put on them. And they needed something from everybody coming together to show them some love that we're here, you know.
Yeah. Did you include a note or anything with your...
I don't think I did. I don't know if I did. I don't know if I did or not. Yeah.
Can you tell me a little bit about what it was like when you saw that it had been delivered? How did you learn about that?
Gina texted me. Gina Hudson texted me and told me, and I'm like, oh my gosh, there's my block right there. You know, that was pretty, that was very exciting. And to see him with the expression on his face, you could tell it really moved him. Yeah, it really did.
And how did that make you feel that it moved him?
It made me feel good, you know, knowing that you had a part of something for somebody else.
And you became, so did you become kind of close with Gina, or did you know her before this?
No, I actually did not know her before this, but I found out during this, you know, sending it in and stuff, and I think she may have seen my name in Raywick, and she goes, my mother's from Raywick. And I said, no way, who is your mother? And lo and behold, she's from Raywick. I went to school with her sister, her mother's sister.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
And so you became sort of
close. Yeah, we text back and forth and stuff, yeah.
And were you on the phone with her before she presented the quilt?
I think it was.
Okay.
I think it was.
Do you remember that conversation at all?
Not really, you know. I don't know. I can't say I do. Yeah.
Did you make anything else that was sent to any of the officials, or did you?
No. That's the only one I made for that, you know.
Yeah.
Other than just local people, you know, masks for local people.
Yeah. Can you talk a little bit about that? Who you were making masks for?
Well, I made masks, like I said, for family and friends. Me and my daughter and granddaughter made a bunch for school. She took them to school. Tina took them to church. I made them for work. Just pretty much anybody says, can you make me a mask? Yeah.
Did you keep count?
I don't know exactly, but I know it was over 700. Yeah.
And you said you hadn't been making them for a while. Do you remember when you stopped making masks?
Probably when people started coming out of them. Mm-hmm. I probably made them up until that time, yeah. And every now and then, I might still make an occasional one, like you're going somewhere special, you want something put on, yeah.
How have you seen the sort of crafting community continue to support each other, even though you're not looking for masks at the moment?
I think that they've all come together, the seamstress, and people have learned, went back to sewing because of mask making. People that never sewed in their life got a machine from somewhere and made masks, and they liked it, like my sister, and now she's sewing. She's I don't know if this is for me. I said, be patient, it will be. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I think it's getting back into the craft of sewing because of the mask making.
Interesting. So you took the month, sorry, I'm all over the place in this interview,
okay.
But you took the month off, you made masks the whole time, then you went back to work.
Uh-huh.
And you kept, you come home and do this? How was your, what was your process like?
Yeah, I'd work, you know, go to work, and then in the mornings I'd get up and make some more masks, or not every day, but occasionally somebody'd say, I need masks, so I'll make 10 more masks, you know.
Were they quick, or was it a longer process?
No, it's quick. Because you've made so many, mm-hmm. you know, and once you've got the pattern in your head, you could probably make one in 6 minutes, you know.
Oh, wow.
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah. Did you have a, like, today I'm only cutting squares, tomorrow I'm going to sew, or was it somebody asked for it, I'm going to do the whole thing?
Yeah, I just do the whole thing at one time.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, let me rephrase that. Donnie made, he cut strings for me, and I would come out here in the morning after he works day shift and I work night shift, and there'd be all these little strings hanging out on the thing for me. So I guess it was like a two-part deal, mm-hmm. yeah. And then I quit doing the strings and start doing the ear loops, and one t-shirt will make a lot of ear loops.
I believe that. Would you hand them out, or would people come get them? How did you disperse your masks?
Mostly just hand them out, you know. Take them to work, and here they are, like that, yeah. And then, like I said, I mailed some to family members, and that's it.
Yeah. Can you tell me, can you define the idea of Team Kentucky in your own words?
Team Kentucky. It's kind of like a new term, but it's an old thinking. It's an old way. Because I think Kentuckians have always come together to help people in need. And it's the whole team working together. Whether you're making masks, whether you're bottling hand sanitizer, whether you're taking an elderly person food because they're not getting out, it's all one team working together.
Yeah. Can you talk a little bit about the hand sanitizer and your role in that for Heaven Help?
Well, actually, I was off while they were making it. You know, my line runs it. And if I'd been there, I would have been running it. But they made, Heaven Heal made 300,000 liters of hand sanitizer. And hand it out to, like, first responders, fire departments, police departments, employees, people in need. And then they also donated $400,000 to different places for the pandemic, for things that the pandemic caused.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And, you know, I mean, they worked hard at getting that out, because once there was a shortage of it, they jumped right in and started producing it.
And you were making masks at home.
Yeah, I'm making masks at home, and somebody's running my line making the hand sanitizer.
Yeah, that's incredible. So, last little question here, and it's a big one, actually. How are you feeling on June 24th, 2022?
Well, truthfully, I'm getting nervous about the COVID again,
mm-hmm.
because at work, last week, we had 7 people with it. You know, you thought it was dying down, and it's springing back up. I feel like that I'm not going, maybe not die from it now, because I've had my shots, I've been boosted, and I feel like that I might survive it now. But I think it's still a nervous feeling.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it is. It's still a nervous feeling, because we've never had nothing like this in our lifetime. You know, nobody that's living today, except maybe the World War II veterans, has been through this vast majority of something. Mm-hmm. You know, we pray we don't do it again.
Thank you. Do you, you said you were a little nervous. Are you going to, do you think you'll pick up some habits that you had maybe in 2020 and reintroduce them, or?
Well, very possibly, like going back into my mask because of people work having it. You know, we've been going out without a mask and going places and stuff, but it does make you a little more, you know, you're more cautious of wash them hands, get them hands washed. Somebody coughing back up. I think it's getting wound up again.
Yeah. It's interesting. We've been doing these over the last 6 weeks, and we've heard everything from, I feel great, to, I'm still really nervous.
Yeah, I am. I'm still nervous about it, because of my age, that's a big factor. Got a little heart condition. That's another factor, I'm not ready to go yet. I still have a lot of sewing to do.
Right.
I have to sew up all that fabric.
Absolutely. Well, thank you for letting us spend a little time with you.
Well, thank you. Thank you.